That was when music was good. Yeah, the 70s. Am I on?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, you know, at the very least, if you're younger and you didn't live through that era, you have to admit, at least that's when music was funky, right? They had the funk then. As Brandon mentioned, we are continuing just a short series on money. And that song, actually that song, I looked at the lyrics, it's really good. It's almost like a prophetic word and warning about the use of money. There's even a Bible verse in that song. So, again, the theme, money, 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 all right? We think about money, we work for money, we save money, we spend money, we tithe money, hopefully. We stress about money, and you know, much of our lives and much of our days revolve around money. And the Bible talks a lot about money. There are more than 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about money or possessions. And you know, 2,000. And you know, that is over 2 times more than all the verses in the Bible about prayer and faith combined. That's surprising, right? Over two times more than all the verses about prayer and faith combined talk about money or possessions. So why so many verses? Why so many verses in the Bible about money and possessions? I believe it's because God knows the enemy can use money and possessions to absolutely derail us, destroy us, squeeze God's life out of us. Here's a verse, you probably have heard it before, 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. And again, it's not money itself, because money is neutral, but it's the love of money. But I don't know how many of you actually know or read the second part of this verse. It says, it is through this craving, the craving for money and possessions, that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And so this is a stern warning about the trappings, the temptations that can go along with money. And these days, I don't know how much you're into and aware of what's happening in the world. These days, there are many dark and deceptive and evil things going on with money. Things that cause us to question, and you begin to see money driving so many things and so many industries. You know, you've maybe heard of talk about Big Pharma, or the industrial military complex, right? Or money, you know, behind abortion clinics. That's really driving. Money is driving a lot of things that are very dark. And so God speaks to us about money. You know, Billy Graham has said, and I thought about this. Does everyone know who Billy Graham is? I heard there's some people here that don't know. Billy Graham was probably one of the greatest evangelists of the modern era, all right, of our time. And he said this. He says, if a person gets his attitude towards money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area of his life. And that's from one of the greatest evangelists of all times. He says, if you get money right, if you learn how to handle money correctly, if you have a proper attitude towards money, it will impact and affect positively almost every other area of our lives. And that's because, I believe that's because the way we handle money, our attitude towards money, reflects our hearts. It reflects our hearts, what's in our hearts. Look at this verse. You heard this? Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Jesus talking. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Don't lay up for yourself earthly. Don't pursue earthly wealth and earthly things so much, because it's temporary. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because eternal things, the things of God, are lasting, are eternal. And then there's verse 21. Look at this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if we have a wrong relationship with money, it will damage our hearts, and it will affect negatively our spiritual lives. And so that's why God addresses, and the Bible addresses, money so much. Last week, Kyle gave a really good message, and he had some good teaching about stewardship, about generosity, about how God owns everything, and how we are invited by God to partner with him for his work here on earth. And he gave some great teaching. I encourage you, if you haven't, to go watch it. But today, I felt like the Lord's praying about this message. I felt like the Lord wanted us not so much to go through a lot of teaching about money, but I sensed that the Lord wanted and wants to deal with our hearts. This morning, I felt like the Lord wants to deal with our hearts in the area of money. And he desires to cleanse our hearts and to free us from any grip that money might have on our hearts. Any little speck, even, of the love of money and possessions and worldly things that have crept in, that aren't in alignment with the Lord, to free us from the footholds money may have gained in our lives. Like I mentioned, the Bible mentions money a lot, but the Bible also talks about our hearts a lot. You know, there's over almost 1,000 times that the Bible refers to our hearts. And it's not talking about, right, the physical heart. It's essentially referring to the place, that spiritual part of us, where our emotions and our desires dwell. That's when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the place in our spirit where our emotions and our desires dwell. And, you know, it's interesting because the Bible even talks about God having a heart, right? It talks about God having a heart. And it says about David, he says, what? David was who? A man after what? God's heart. So God has a heart. And I believe God has a heart. God has emotion. God has desires. God is spirit. And God made us in his image. So God has a heart. So he has given us a heart. And the Lord wants to make sure that we guard our heart, because the heart is like this critical part of our being, this critical part of who we are, and the Bible and the Lord put special emphasis on the importance of keeping our hearts pure. Let's look at this first, Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Your heart, your emotions, your desires, that spiritual part of you that the Bible calls your heart, will determine the direction, the course, the path, your future in life. And so it's really important. So we must be vigilant. We must be vigilant not to allow money to grip our hearts. So we're going to look at a couple passages that talk about the heart in relationship to money. Okay, first, we're going to look at, again, many of you probably heard it, but the parable of the four soils. But we're going to focus on soil number three. Okay, so let's look at Mark chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. Jesus telling the parable and he explaining it to the disciples. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but look at this. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So Jesus teaching through this parable, he says, this third soil, and really the soil is the soil of our hearts. The word of God is planted in the good soil of our hearts. And he says, this third soil, the plant grows up, starts getting strong, but it says worries, and it could be a lot of financial worries. Worries, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for things, it chokes out that word. It chokes out God's life. It chokes out our spiritual life. So we become unfruitful. You know, when I was reading this and meditating this and I heard the word choke, you know what it came to mind? This is how my mind works, right? When I heard the word choke, you know what image I got? WWE, right? The World Wrestling Entertainment. And this picture came to mind, right? He's doing this chokehold, right? Now, whether you think this is real or fake, I don't know. But he's doing this chokehold on poor Rock, right? The poor Rock, was that John Cena? John Cena choking out the Rock with this chokehold, right? Look at his face. Look at the Rock's face. The Bible says riches and the desire for wealth, it'll do this to you. It will choke you. It will come in and crowd out and choke out the life of God. Let's look at another verse. Let's look at the story of the poor widow. The poor widow, okay? Mark 12, 41 through 44. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins, probably like pennies. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Here is Jesus watching all these people parading in, dropping in their offering, some very large sums of money. But as we notice, the amount doesn't matter. The appearance, the amount doesn't matter to Jesus. What is he concerned with? Right here. He's concerned with the heart. The Bible says right in Samuel, God does not look at things as man does, because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at what? The heart. Jesus saw this widow, poor, giving two pennies. And he calls her out and he points her out to his disciples. And he says, look at this woman. Look at this one. Don't look at her appearance. Don't look at the amount, the dollar signs. What did he see? He saw her heart. And he says, she was generous. She had a generous heart. She trusted God. Even though that was her last bit of money, she showed faith in the Lord, believing the Lord was going to still take care of her. God looks right here. He doesn't look here. He doesn't look here. He doesn't look here. He looks right here. He looks right here. And he longs for us to keep this pure. Because when our hearts are pure, there's not, we don't have any barriers. We don't harbor any things that would keep us from the intimate relationship with him, from the life and the power and the love that God wants to pour into us. You know, when it comes to money and our hearts, really, I think it comes down to one thing, and it's this verse, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What this verse is saying when it comes to our hearts is, you have to choose. You have to choose. God, the things of God, am I going to give my heart wholeheartedly to him? Or the things of the world, money, riches, possessions? Is God first? Or is the world first, money first? And you cannot keep one foot in God and one foot in money and possessions. Reminds me of the Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid. I'm dating myself. The original Karate Kid with Mr. Miyagi, right? He says, you walk on the left side of the road, you're okay. You walk on the right side of the road, you're okay. If you try to walk in the middle of the road, what? Squashed like a grape, right? God says, when it comes to our heart, you have to decide in your heart. You have to choose. You have to choose. Now, when I thought about this, I actually felt like the Lord just gave me this picture. It was of Jesus and, like, Money Man. So I looked up on Google, I go, Money Man, what comes out? I didn't know there was a rapper called Money Man, right? But I found this, okay? That's the Geico Money Man, right? All right? And then right here, Jonathan Rumi, right? He plays Jesus in The Chosen, right? Okay, and so when you look at these kind of money, Jesus, who does your heart choose? Now, I think all of a sudden, oh, Jesus. Of course it's Jesus, right? Hold on a minute. Let me ask you a few questions. Who do you think about more during the day, each day? Money, Jesus. Who do you spend more time with? Money, Jesus. Are you focused more on the material, temporal things or on the spiritual, eternal things? When you get money, what are your first thoughts? Who do you look to and look towards for security? You look to Jesus, or do you look to money? 401ks, retirement, insurance, bank account. You know, I know a lot of people, and I think, for me, okay, this is my opinion. I think for a lot of women, money equates to security. Because women have a longing to feel secure. Guys do too, but I think guys, it represents other things too, right? But who do you look for? What do you look towards for security? Is your security in dollar signs, in bank accounts, retirement plans, or is it in the Lord to take care of you and your future? Who do you look for provision, for your value, your worth, your social status? Do you look to my houses, possessions? Who do you seek first for your needs and wants? Do you look towards money? What can I buy? Or do you find that in the Lord? Who do you look towards for your future? What do you put your hope in? Where's your peace? You know, it's really interesting to me that Jesus would compare the love of God with the love of money, right? He says you can't have two masters. You will love one, despise the other, or be devoted to one and hate the other. And he says you cannot love God and money. It's really interesting to me that he sets up the love of God over and against the love of money. And although money in itself is neutral, right, it's a tool that could be used for good or evil, in part, I believe the reason why Jesus sets up money and the counterpart is God and money, I think in part, I believe Jesus sets this up because they are rival masters for our hearts. And behind this money, this master of money, there's a spirit, even a demonic spirit, that seeks to use money to enslave us, to derail us, to distract us, to destroy us. And it is this spirit behind money that seeks our lives. And that's why Jesus says, you cannot have two masters. If you have a heart that has the love of money, the enemy is going to take that and get a foothold in you and start manipulating you to put you into bondage. You know, like I said, at times I think we're all tempted. We all have areas with respect to money where they're like weaknesses or they're temptations or they're traps from the enemy. And so today I felt that, like I said, as I started, I felt like the Lord wanted to really help free us from that, wants to address our hearts, because it's so important that we have pure hearts for our spiritual lives, okay? Here are just some real quick, before we get into application, here are some real quick signs that money may be an idol for you. One, money problems are always on your mind. Two, your happiness is dependent on money. Oh, once I get this raise, or once I get this house, or once I get out of debt, or once this happens. In that case, your hope is in money, not in the Lord. Three, your family is tired of hearing you talk about money. Four, you are tempted to cheat on taxes, to not give to those in need, to take unwise shortcuts. Five, constantly looking at your investments. Six, live beyond your means. Seven, jealous of those that have more. And so today's application, we're going to do your favorite thing, a lab. Okay, we're going to have a lab time. For those of you that are new to our church, you know when you were like in school, in high school, and let's say you had chemistry or biology, you had the class portion, right? And then you had the lab portion. And in the lab time, you're actually supposed to practically try to experience and live what you learned in the class time, right? So this is, we have Catalyst, we have these, what I call lab times, where it's to actually experience some of this teaching. Because I believe the Lord wants to free us from the love of money. Okay, so this is how it's going to work. If you have on you some money, like some bills or coins, I want you to take that out now. Just one each. Now, I know this day and age, some people don't have money, right, cash. So if you don't have cash, that's okay. I brought you some fake money that you can use, okay? I brought these, it looks pretty real. I bought these on Amazon. I bought these fake $100 bills. So if you need some cash or money, you don't have any cash on you, raise your hand and they will give you. And if you just want this because it's cool, you can raise your hand too. If you want to fake a $100 bill, you could go that, okay? Okay, so what we're going to do, there's this guided prayer time. I've made some cards, so you can pass out the cards now. So you can pass out the cards to everyone. Go ahead, pass it out. And it's this guided prayer time that we're going to do, all right? And the reason for this lab, it's to affirm God and His Lordship over us. It's affirm our trust in Him for our security and provision. And it's wanting to have clean hearts before the Lord. Okay, so should be getting these prayer cards. Pass it out. Okay. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Are they coming around? Everyone have one? Okay, now, my thing is freedom. One of our values is freedom. So we never force people to do things, all right? But for this exercise, I want to strongly encourage you to participate, all right? And so what we're going to do, let me go over this card first, okay? And these, it's four steps, and these are written out prayers that you can actually use in a minute, right? So freedom from the love of money. First step is repent. And this is what you pray. Lord, I repent for putting money ahead of you and trusting in money rather than trusting you for my, and that's for you, specific for you. It could be I'm trusting in money rather than trusting you for my security or for my provisions or for my worth or for my wants, for my needs, for my power, for my happiness, for my comfort, for my hope, for my future, for my peace. I believe every one of us has something here. There's something that we actually maybe subtly didn't know. We've drifted and we look to money for this thing rather than for the Lord. Okay, so you just pray that to the Lord. You just, in a minute you'll come forward and then you pray, Lord, I repent for putting money ahead of you and trusting in money rather than trusting you for my security. All right? And then second part is renounce. Remember I mentioned that behind money, there are demonic spirits that are trying to get footholds in our life. So this renounce, I renounce the demonic spirit and principality behind money and break its grip and influence over my heart and mind. That's acknowledging and coming against and breaking, right, the stronghold, the foothold, the lies of these demonic spirits. Okay. Three, receive. You could pray this. You could just actually pray this if you want. I now receive the forgiveness and freedom that are mine in Christ. Those are, if you are a believer, if you have put your faith in Christ, if you've received the Holy Spirit, those are yours always, forever, 24/7, every day. You always have the forgiveness of the Lord and freedom in Christ. So you just acknowledge that. I acknowledge. We say receive, but it's really acknowledging what I already have. I receive, now receive the forgiveness and freedom that are mine in Christ and put my trust in the Father alone for my, whatever you mentioned in number one, for my security. I put my trust in the Father alone for my security or for my provision or for my peace or for my future. Okay, and then the last one, blessing. I receive from you, Father, the security, peace, provision, and inheritance you have given me as your child and your heir, both in the spiritual and physical realms. So it's inviting God to bless you. It's inviting the blessing of the Lord upon you, okay? So is this clear? Pretty clear? The steps? Okay, so what I'm going to have you do, I'm going to have the worship team come up now. Worship team's going to come up. And this is what I encourage you to do. When they start to worship, then you just sit before the Lord. Okay, you just sit before the Lord and invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and search my heart in the area of money. Bring to surface, bring to my mind any area of money where the love of money has started to grip my heart. And you just invite the Lord to come, and then you just sit with the Lord and see what the Lord begins to stir, the Holy Spirit begins to stir. And then, when you feel led, I want to invite you to come forward, okay? And you, there's two trays here. You're putting your money, and put your money in the tray, okay? If this is a dollar, that's fine. If you don't have money, you could use the fake money. But it's a symbolic thing just to say, Lord, my money, my finances, I lay it down before you, okay? And then I want you to, again, I encourage you to do it up here, but you don't have to. You could sit in the seats, or if you want to, it's your choice, you could go back to your seat, and I want you to pray through that card. Just take your time, and slowly, because it's with, you're praying with your heart. You're not just praying with your mouth, right? It's with your heart, like, okay, Lord, I want to repent now. And Lord, I repent for allowing money to choke and crowd you out. I repent for money and my desire for, it could be desire for things, for a house, for a car, for, you know, you're concerned about your retirement account, whatever. And then you just repent and give that to the Lord and then go through each of the four steps, okay? And I believe the Lord wants you just to free us. Free us from the grip of money in our lives that keeps us from the fullness of what the Lord wants. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, would you just come and manifest your presence here now? Holy Spirit, we want to open our hearts to you. Thank you, Lord, that you want to free us from every and any hindrance to the fullness that you want to give us, to the depth of relationship you want to engage and have with us. And Lord, you know, Lord, our spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And Lord, you know how money and this world and material things have taken a hold and gripped our hearts in different ways. Would you just lovingly and gently free us from those things as we go through this prayer before you. Set us free, Lord. Set us free. Purify our hearts, Lord, this morning as we come for you, before you, because you are our first love. You are our Master, Lord, Savior, King. And Lord, set us into proper alignment. Set our hearts into proper alignment with you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay, so whenever thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.